Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 63.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 63. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. And first off, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I was back home in Boston the previous week. That's where my family is from. And we had a pre-Thanksgiving dinner, which was really nice. And then I got to spend some time with my friends in California and had another Thanksgiving. So I had two Thanksgivings. So I was very thankful for all that food. I know I ate a ton and I am stuffed. The gym is definitely calling my name. Get those energy levels back up. But again, thank you for joining me today. We are here at the Jazz Piano School Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be going over ear training for progressions and progressions in jazz music. And one of the members actually asked for this of Jazz Piano School in the community. He asked because he's asking about an ear training course because he hasn't been able to find much on ear training. And then I also agree with him. I don't think there's much out there for ear training unless you're in a college curriculum. And actually, speaking of that, I mean, that's one of the main reasons I developed Jazz Piano School, was because when I went to school at the New School University in New York and got out, my whole kind of journey, I couldn't find all the information I needed for jazz piano. So, you know, not everyone is fortunate enough to go to college or, you know, just have the resources to do that or the opportunity to do that. So, I wanted to put as much out there as possible. And again, when I went to school, obviously I had teachers teaching me about ear training, but it's hard to get that specialized training in just, you know, the everyday world, no matter where you are in the U.S. or in the world. So that's why he was kind of asking about that, and I completely agreed with him. So I agreed to build an ear training course or portion, a specialty course for Jazz Piano School, obviously separate than the main course. We will have our solo piano system coming out very, very soon. And then I have another course that we're gonna build that people had requested, which is gonna be the how to accompany singers specialty course. And then I'm gonna do the ear training course, I think. So lots of specialty courses coming, but let's get into this. If you, for this episode, the freebie or the practice materials are going to be popular progressions that you can practice and practice your ear training for those progressions. So I'm not gonna be able to go over all the popular progressions. There's gonna be a lot in there. And you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast63 to download all of those progressions though, in order to practice your ear training for those progressions. Now in this episode, I'm gonna go over different important steps and topics when practicing your ear training for progressions. We do have a podcast episode very, very early on that goes over the basics of ear training. But again, in this episode, I'm going to be going over ear training for progression. So let's start. The purpose of ear training is a big thing because what he was talking about, this member of Jazz Piano School, he was saying that a lot of the stuff isn't really applicable, and I completely agree. So if we're practicing our intervals, right, and I ask you what interval this is, if I tell you this is a C, if you're watching the video, obviously you can see, but you can close your eyes. Right, to hear that interval is basically the first step, hearing intervals, things like that, chords, triads, movements, inversions, that's all part of ear training. But he's saying, you know, how much of that is actually useful, and I do agree with him. To some point, when you're in a jazz atmosphere and you're trying to hear movements or progressions, you know, hearing an inversion like that, you know, knowing, oh, that's going to second inversion of an F triad, that's not really going to be applicable. It's not going to be very helpful. It's just kind of that extraneous knowledge, right, that you might have and would be able to hear. So depending upon how far you want to go with your ear training, you can definitely get to that level where you're hearing that, but you don't necessarily need it. So I'm gonna try and help them and help you guys with applicable stuff. So you need to, my point here is, I'm babbling, I know. My point here is that if you were just trying to transcribe things off a record, that's going to be a certain purpose for ear training, right? In that sense, if you wanted to transcribe exactly what a pianist is playing, then yes, that is going to be helpful for you, right? Because you want to be able to hear the voicings they're using. If you are playing in a jazz setting where I, you know, if I'm playing with my trio or I'm playing, with certain, doesn't have to be trio, but sax players, trumpet players, and I want to hear where they're moving with their motion or the extensions that they're using or where the bass player is going as far as progressions goes, that is another set of skills that deals mainly with progressions, which I'm going to be talking about today, right? Also, if you know the harmonies to a tune and you're trying to figure out certain chords within a tune, that's also another set of skills. So again, my purpose here right now is just telling you that depending upon what your goal is, you're going to have more work or less work because things are going to be helpful, you know, in order to help you, you know, gather the information you need. And I'm going to go over all that. All right. So number one, bass motion. Everyone knows this. It's very important. And that's why intervals are so important to know. So if I hear the bass player obviously go, my ear, I want to train my ear to hear that motion, right? Or a similar way down, right? Okay. So I'm going to get into all the popular movements later, but again, we want to practice training our ear to hear certain movements, and we want to practice hearing the intervals. And so I went over this in the basic ear training, but we want to hear that that's a fourth, right? Or we want to hear that this is a fifth, okay? That way, if the bass player plays that, I know he's, you know, most of the time they'll be playing the roots. I know he's going to the fourth. Or I want to be able to hear, like, let's say a half step. So if I go, if he plays something like this, I can hear, I may not know what this interval is because that's kind of tough. But if I hear that half step motion and then I hear him do this, I can hear, or my ear is trained to hear that 2-5-1. So I'll know that all he did was play a half step above the two, half step above, 2-5-1 to the four. So that way my theory would tell me that he played one, going to, let's say we're in the key of F here, one, going to the tritone, right? Going to the 2-5 to the four. Now this is exactly where your ear training depends on your purpose. If I know the changes that we're playing and I didn't know what that was that he played on the gig or rehearsing, but let's say I know we're playing a blues and I'm familiar with a popular reharm of the blues, which would be adding the 2 to the 5 to the, 2-5-1 going to B flat, right? 1-2-5 to the 4. If I'm familiar with that popular movement, then I can basically, you know, come to a conclusion that if I heard him do this and then I heard a half step with a 2-5-1, I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, he used a half step to approach the 2 going to the 5 to the 1. So that half step must have been a tritone. And obviously this is where theory comes into play as well. You need to know what a tritone is. Then I would know what that change was. So if he played it in the second chorus, right, I could catch that with him. So again, there's so many moving parts that go into this. But again, we want to practice our bass motion. That's number one. Number two is we want to practice chord quality. We want to practice hearing chord qualities, okay? And again, these tips right here don't necessarily all apply to the same purpose, right? I'm going over tips that are going to apply to all different purposes. So if you're trying to transcribe or hear what a pianist is doing on a recording or an album, or let's say you're trying to just transcribe a chord that someone played, you need to be able to hear the chord quality, right? So this comes into play. We want to be able to hear major chords, right? Dominant chords definitely have a different quality. Minor chords, minor flat five, right? Diminished chords, full diminished, okay? Minor major. Now, each one of these chords has a different quality, right? It has a different relationship, and you're going to hear me say this a lot in this podcast. You're going to have different feelings. If different moods and feelings are going to be evoked by the sound and the quality of the chord. So obviously major, it's a very happy, kind of just calm, it's a stable chord. There's not much dissonance going on, right? It's very, very open, peaceful, right? Your minor chord obviously is going to be described a lot as sad, ominous, kind of dark, more dark kind of feeling it's going to bring up into you. So listen to how the chord quality kind of relates to you. And you got to play it a lot, right? In order to develop your ear training, you have to develop a relationship with the sound. And that's really how your ear is going to improve, because when your ear recognizes it, it's going to be like, oh, I know that sound, I know that feeling. Not necessarily to say, you know, I don't know every single note that's being played in a progression, but I can hear progressions very, very well because of my theory knowledge and because basically I know the sounds and the movements of the progression. I could basically take my time to transcribe every single note. That takes a while, but you're going to, you know, through this practice, you're going to get great at just being able to hear the movements, the chord qualities, and be able to write out progressions easily with this podcast. So chord qualities, obviously, that minor major is very haunting. The half diminished is just what I said. It's more of a half diminished sound, right? Which is going to be able to trigger that. Oh yeah, I hear that half diminished in there. Full diminished, right? Now you want to kind of, for practicing chord qualities, you want to pick I like to pick movie scenes that trigger these emotions, right? For your diminished chord, I'll never forget. One of my teachers told me this, or I came up with it. I don't really remember. But kind of the train track scene in a black and white movie when the train's coming and someone's like roped, tied down to the train tracks, right? It kind of, you know, so when I hear a diminished chord, it gives me that feeling because I relate that sound to that kind of movie. I'm like, oh yeah, it sounds like that. Whereas with my major chord, you might think of meadows, sun, you know, stuff like that. So be aware of these different things when you're trying to use your ear to hear qualities of the chords, all right? Theory comes into play a lot, right? So you need to know how progressions work. And one of the main progressions is chords like to resolve in a 5/5, by a 5-to-1 resolution. So what I mean by that is that let's say in the key of C, we have a G7, right? Our G7 tends to resolve down by a fifth, right? Now, most chords tend to resolve in a fifth pattern as well, meaning if I was on A, then the A could resolve down to the D, could resolve down to the G, could resolve down to the C, right? So diatonically, in the key of C, we'd have A minor, going to D minor, going to G7, going to C major. Those are all resolutions down by a fifth. Now, not all progressions resolve down by a fifth, obviously, but in music and in jazz especially, a lot of them do as well. So it only makes sense to practice and practice training your ear to hear these 5-to-1 resolutions, okay? And you wanna do that for every single chord, right? It's practicing from, I'd recommend diatonically first. I'm gonna get into that in a second, but just hearing the bass motion as well, right, hearing this movement, or practicing hearing that 5-to-1 resolution and or the resolution down by a fifth through as many resolutions as you want, right? So it could keep going. And again, a 2-5-1, even though we play it like this, those are resolutions down by a fifth as well, right? So D to G to C. Although you hear it might mainly played like that because 2-5-1, okay? So 5-to-1 resolutions are very important. Now, again, number four is you wanna ask yourself, where does it go to? Let's say you're transcribing a movement and you have the first chord, let's say it's a C major 7, and you have the, you don't know the second chord, but you have the third chord, which is the A minor 7. And you can't hear that chord in the middle. You can't hear the movement. So we want to look to where the chord goes. Now, if we know our C major 7, we know it goes to, wow. Excuse me, guys, I got something caught there. Let's say we know it goes to an A minor 7 chord. We want to go back and ask ourselves, like, how what would be taking us to an A minor 7? Well, again, normally a good general rule is that we can think, oh, maybe it's a 5-to-1 resolution. So in this case, we want to check and see. Maybe it goes to E7 and then to A minor. That's one way we can kind of see, oh, is that the chord, right? And so you want to be able to hear, again, this comes back to hearing bass motion. So if I can hear the bass go, if I can hear that third, then I know he went up to an E, and that solidifies my theory, right? That it went one, dominant three to the A minor. Now, if we can hear the bass motion and maybe the bass player went like this, C major, B flat, A. So we didn't know what the B flat chord was, but if we listen for the bass motion and say, okay, he played this, he went down by a whole step, you know, he didn't jump much, he just went down very close and then landed on the A, we could probably assume that he was using the tritone of a five, right? So instead of going C, C, E, A, he went C, B flat seven to A minor, okay? So this is, all of this kind of comes into play when using ear training. It's actually really not just about hearing everything. It's about adding all these different components in to come up with the movement, if that's what your goal is, right? If your goal is to hear all the different sounds in an album or something, that is very difficult, right? To just hear a progression that the bass player may do or the pianist or the trumpet player may be soloing over, that's actually fairly simple. That's what the specialty course is going to be about, and I'll teach you guys how to do that. But again, so number four is where does it go to? Okay, so you want to ask yourself where it goes to, and then you want to try and figure out what that middle chord is by asking those certain questions. All right, number five is that certain chords, again, lend themselves to moods, feelings, and this goes for extensions as well. All right, so this kind of ties into number two, which was being the chord quality. So if you have certain movements or progressions, they're going to lend themselves, it's not just for chords, but progressions as well, they're going to lend themselves to certain moods and feelings. So you want to get, when I get to the popular movements, I'll talk about this again, but this is why you want to familiarize yourself with as many popular movements as possible. So if I played something like this, you know, that's a very common feeling, right? Or if I played this, you know, if I heard that progression, or if you had practiced that progression, you'll be easily be able to say, oh yeah, that's one, and then five to the four, right? And then going to the flat seven there with maybe a sharp 11, because that chord tends to use a sharp 11 a lot. Now, the only way you know that is just by kind of listening and studying these progressions. And you'll get used to hearing that sound. Here's my sharp 11. It doesn't have to use a sharp 11. It can just be this at flat seven dominant. But that's a very common feeling. Now, again, another feeling is a 2-5-1 or a 1-6-2-5. And again, these could bring up a lot of different feelings for you when you hear them. You could think Broadway. Sometimes I think more of like a old school Broadway when I hear a 1-6-2-5-1. You know, it gives me that kind of feeling or that image when you hear that, right? So it'll bring up a lot of different things. And your main goal is to really take the image of what it brings up as you're practicing these progressions and stick it to that sound. That way you have a trigger, right? Have any of you guys seen Ratatouille? There's a funny scene in there that I love when he smells the food, right? It triggers this whole dream world of a memory that he had just by the smelling the food. And smells do that, sounds do that, sights do that. So that, I love that scene there. It's just really funny. But that's what I want you guys to do for this, is when you play some of these progressions at the end of this, the popular movements, stick a feeling or an emotion or a sound to that progression And then that way you'll be able to easily remember it when you hear it again, right? Another one is, let me see, in the key of C, right? Going to the flat 3 instead of the 6. So that's completely different than going to the 6, right? So if I were to hear, if I heard someone do that, you know, for me, again, it's not as bland, or it's not as it's got more of an edge to it, right? Rather than the okay, it definitely has more of some edge and some rawness to it than that kind of just the one regular 1-6-2-5. So again, that's number 5. Now number 6. Okay, I'm going to get into progressions now and talking about how to kind of implement some of these things to actually practice training your ear and training yourself to listen to these progressions. The first thing I'd recommend you do is, this is kind of skipping over, now we're getting more advanced, right? You want to be able to hear intervals. You want to be able to hear chord qualities for your triads, right? Major, minor, diminished, things like that. Again, I wouldn't necessarily say you need to hear inversions. You don't necessarily need to do that. You want to be able to hear bass motions diatonically, okay? So I would practice maybe with a friend or things like that. Obviously, I should build a good tool for Jazz Piano School, which you have seen some of these things, where you have practice exercises where you can hear the motion. That's what I'll have in the specialty course. That'll be cool. And it'll give you practice exercises, like if you close your eyes right now, or if you're just listening on the podcast through iTunes and I play this, here's a C, right? If I were to play this progression, you'd want to try and tell me what Neuroman numerals that is in the key of C. Okay, so I'll do it for you one more time. Right, so if you can hear your intervals, then that becomes very, very easy, right? But also, if you've practiced those movements and you know that progression, that will also be another easy way instead of sitting there and be like, okay, trying to hear that interval, which is a fourth, right? And then a half step down, okay, to the E, and then get, that's a 5 resolution, right? But I play it going up, so it's a fourth, right? But you should still be able to kind of link those together. So again, you want to work on all diatonic chords. Now, besides just bass motion, we want to work on playing chords and hearing the quality of the chord just diatonically. So pick random diatonic chords to play and just see if you can hear the movement of that. Okay, so close your eyes again. I'm going to play the 1 chord. Here's our C major 7. Now again, I would start out with triads first before adding the 7th chords in, because the 7th chords have 4 notes. It's going to be more advanced and there's more chord qualities, okay? So if you can't hear 7th chords yet, just start out with triads, all right? Here's our 1 major 7, okay? So I'm going to play 3 chords, okay? 3 chord progression. Right? Then so that's the progression. And I just picked 3 random diatonic chords. Okay, so I played the 1, I played the 2, going to the 5. Okay, I'll do another one. I'm gonna start on the 1. All right, close your eyes. So here it is. Okay, this is a little bit more tough. Again, I'm playing all these in root position now. Right, again, inversions is harder to hear because the harmonies are moving so intricately within the chord, right? In the middle of the chord. So here we go again. Okay, so that was 1 going to the 6, going to the 4, going to the 5. Okay, and again, these kind of chords, or when you land on these chords, you should spend time with the next set of popular movements I'm going to talk about so that you develop a relationship with the movement. So, you know, when I play 1-6, that's a relationship. That should be a feeling. You know, already, my ear hears 1-6-2-5 just because it's so ingrained in my ear. When that doesn't happen, then I know, oh, okay, something else is going on here. So when I hear 1-6 going to the 4, right? Now my 4 chord, for me, my ear hears the 4 already going to the 5. That's what I hear innately, just but you know, it happens. So when in this progression, I would hear 1 to 6, I would know that. 6 to 4 is kind of difficult, but once I heard that 5 chord, I'd be like, oh, 4-5-1, right? Da-da-da. That's a very common thing, 4-5-1. So this is kind of how you put this stuff together. So I just practice, just my recommendation to you is practice random diatonic chords like that. Just switch it up and see how many chords you can get in a string of movements, right? Maybe you work on 2 at a time, then you work on 3 at a time, then you work on 4 at a time, then 6 and 7, 8, right? Just play 8 random diatonic chords from the 1. So you could go 1, 3, 4, 2, 7 minor 7 flat 5, 6, 4, 5, 1. Start out with just root position. And I'm thinking of another good thing you could do here is record yourself doing it, then have all the different progressions. I'm getting some ideas now for yeah, you could record yourself doing it and then switch them up, you know, have them on like a playlist and shuffle the playlist, and then you have your own popular progression playlist which you can use. That's a really great idea. So anyway, so diatonic chords, then you want to go to random diatonic chords. Now, number 7, we're on popular movements now. So our popular movements are going to be popular progressions, right? Progressions you should just know and progressions that you should work on hearing because they're so popular in jazz, right? In jazz standards. Excuse me. So with this too, you want to be able to hear theoretical movements as well. So by that, I mean theory tools. Which we teach in jazz piano school, like the tritone. You want to be able to hear the tritone. You want to be able to hear sus chords, right? A sus resolution. So something like that, right? Or so that's a sus resolution. Now, there's no bass motion happening there, but if I were trying to transcribe something, and let's say we were in the key of C, and then basically we went to C sus, right, and then to F, I'd be like, what the heck? Because the bass motion's not moving anymore anywhere, but the chord quality changed and then resolved to a C7 and then to our F. So you want to be able to hear sus chords, tritones, you know, just to name a couple, relative minor. I'm not going to get into all that because that's a big theory lesson in itself. But just watch out for those couple things. The tritone and sus chord, I'd say, are very important movements when trying to hear progression. So here are some examples of popular movements that I've written down. Now, the practice exercise that you can get at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast63 is going to be a lot more progressions. I'm just giving you a couple examples right now just to demonstrate the step. But you can go and download that, then work on practicing these movements and hearing them. That way, when you hear a bass player do it or you hear an album, you can do that as well. So here we go. Here's a couple examples. 1 to the dominant 2 is very common in jazz standards. So if I were to play a C major 7, going to the 2 dominant, that's a very common progression, okay? And again, kind of knowing your extensions for more advanced players, the sharp 11 is used a lot on the 2 dominant, right? So for example, in Take the A Trend, we have a 1 chord or a 1-6 instead of a 1 major 7. Right, there's a sharp 11 in there. So that's a 1 to 2, okay, progression. So you wanna be able to hear that progression because it's used a lot. Obviously, we have our 2-5-1, most common progression in jazz, and 5 to 1 you want to learn, right? These are all very basic. 1-6-2-5-1, that is another one you definitely want to be able to hear, okay? Now in place of the 1, you also want to be able to hear 3, okay? So instead of a 1-6-2-5, you need to be able to distinguish between the 3-6-2-5-1. Okay, now 3 is very similar because you have 3 chord tones in the chord of this of your 1 chord. The only note that's different is one note, okay, which is going to be the D or, you know, the 7 on the 3 chord is the different note. So E minor going to A minor, 2, five, one, right? So again, when I'm playing with bass players, it's, I like when they can hear, this is my personal preference, I like when they can hear, well, first of all, I like when the bass players are listening to my reharms, because then they can catch them. I also like for them to be able to distinguish between certain movements, whereas if we're ending a piece and it goes 2-5-1, and I reharm the one with a three, I want them to be able to hear that and play it with me. That's a very advanced concept going more into playing strategies and methods, but that's something you should be able to hear too. If the bass player goes to the three, when you're ending a tune or a 2-5-1, if he goes to three, then I have all sorts of different opportunities because I can make that a minor, I can make it a dominant, which I usually do, like an altered, going to my altered six, then back to the two, then maybe a tritone. So it makes a huge difference, especially when you're playing with people, not so much when you're playing by yourself, but if you're getting more into group playing, right? So if I were to end a tune, let me see. Right, so going to that three chord, it's definitely gonna be a much, much different texture. And if I play this and the bass player is playing C, it's gonna give definitely a very odd sound, to say the least. So if I play my altered voicing, I want them to be able to hear I'm going to that three altered and using more of a blues. And then resolving to the one at the top of the tune. But anyway, kind of went off on a tangent there. So 1-6-2-5, 3-6-2-5, one, okay, going to the 2-5 to the four. So in any key, right? So here's your 1-2-5 to the four. That's very, very common. 4 to 4 minor is very common. So 1-2-5-4, going to the 4 minor, back to the one. Or even to the three. 1-2-5-4, 4 minor, 3-6-2-5-1. Okay? So these are all common progression patterns. 1-4-3-6-2-5-1. That's a very common progression as well. Instead of going 1-4-3-6, sometimes the one will be replaced with a sharp four. So sharp four, minor seven, flat five, which is F sharp in the key of C, going to your 4 minor. So you hear this a lot. And again, these are just different. You just have to practice hearing these. And again, if you know the tune, then you hear the way a bass player starts it out. I was on a gig a couple months ago, and let me see, what tune was it? I Thought About You, right? So again, the changes in I Thought About You could be 1-4-3-6-2. Now the bass player, instead of playing the one, he played the sharp four. Sharp four, and again, this is written in some changes too as well. Sharp 4-4-3-6-2. So if you weren't custom or familiar with that movement and you heard that, you wouldn't know what it is. But since you knew the changes, right, since I knew the changes and I knew that the one could be replaced with sharp four, I was like, oh, he went to the sharp four. Now, did I hear that necessarily? It kind of all triggers at once, right? All your study and work triggers your ear to hear that progression. I really want to emphasize that, because ear training, people think that ear training is like, oh, it's just hearing, like, oh, I heard the bass player play in F sharp. Well, no, I couldn't say, oh, you know, that note he played was F sharp. It was more of, I came to that conclusion through these different elements. That's a very big piece of the puzzle. All right. So, you know, there's a lot of popular movements. I don't need to keep going over all of them. But that you can go get that, download the practice material there. Now, number 8 is going to be just practice. Practice putting on albums. Jazz, old jazz standards, you know, people playing 50s and 60s, just traditional jazz, the more modern jazz tunes, when you get into Miles and some of the Wayne Shorter tunes, those are going to be very hard to hear. I mean, that's very hard for me to hear as well, some of the movements that I'm not familiar with, just because the writing is much different. I would really recommend staying with Broadway standards, stuff that was on Broadway, just traditional written jazz tunes, traditional composers, out of the real book and out of those things. So put albums on, put old albums on, and see if you can hear the movements. Like, listen to the movements and quiz yourself and see if you can hear those movements and kind of write them down. Go back and maybe look at the tune, right? Pick a tune you're unfamiliar with so you don't know the chords already, obviously. Put the album on, see how many bars you can write out of the movements, and then see if that's right. So that's number eight. You just want to quiz yourself by doing that. So thank you guys for being here today. I hope that was helpful. Again, I apologize. I mean, there's so much information on ear training and on hearing progressions and movements and the bass motion. That's why, actually, I think it's a great idea for me to create a specialty course in Jazz Piano School that will do that. Obviously, we have the main course right now, which is built for beginner all the way up through advanced, which basically is just a whole, covers everything. I mean, that will basically teach you how to play jazz piano to a very advanced level where you're going to play gigs. We have our new specialty course coming out on the solo piano system. That's going to be fun. I'm going to do a couple more podcast episodes in the future on playing solo piano. And this ear training thing was great. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, again, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you have questions, feel free to leave them on the podcast page or in the YouTube video if you're watching it on YouTube. All right. Until I talk to you guys next, happy practicing and have a great day.